From Wondery, I'm Robbie Damon, and this is Little Stories Everywhere. Each episode, we'll bring you stories for kids that spark the imagination, take you to other worlds, and bring joy. This story is called Alfred and the Iceland Fairies.
We're now commencing our descent into Keflavik Airport.
Alfred feels his stomach somersault as the plane leans to one side. His mom squeezes his hand reassuringly and leans toward him. "I know it's hard leaving home and moving to a brand new place," says his mom, her brown eyes soft and kind. "But living in a new country is an adventure." Alfred turns away, trying to ignore the fluttering in his stomach. He presses his nose against the window. "I promise, Iceland will start to feel like home. You'll stay in touch with your old friends, and you'll find new friends here. We'll all be so happy." Through the plane window, Alfred can see vivid blue water framing a land that looks reddish, like the surface of Mars. There are houses of every color of the rainbow scattered across the rusty earth. As the plane comes level with the ground, Alfred can make out enormous black mountains looming in the distance. Iceland looks like a magical place, but it's a long way from home. He turns toward his mom, her blonde hair so much like his own, and tries to smile bravely. His dad, meanwhile, is grinning ear to ear. His eyes sparkle behind his small round spectacles, and he offers Alfred a double thumbs up from across the aisle. When the plane lands on the runway, a burst of cold air rushes at Alfred when they open the door and step downstairs to the tarmac.
"Oof, feel that wind,"
yelps his dad.
"We're not in California anymore, that's for sure."
This quickly turns into a new favorite catchphrase. When an announcement rings out over the airport loudspeaker in Icelandic, Alfred's dad repeats,
"Well, we're not in California anymore."
When their rental car races past a lagoon filled with icebergs, he gasps,
"Whoa, we are not in California anymore."
And finally, as they pull into the driveway of their new home, "Wow, we are really, really not in California anymore." Alfred hops out of the car for a closer look at his new home. The house looks neat and triangular, made of timber beams that are painted cobalt blue. Even stranger is the house's pointed roof. It's entirely covered in grass.
"I know it looks, rustic,"
laughs Alfred's mom as she hauls a duffel bag out of the trunk. "Wait until you see the backyard. It's much bigger than the one back home. There's a great view of the ocean right from the back gate." She tilts her head and rummages in the duffel bag, plucking out a yellow rocket.
"Here."
She smiles, passing the rocket to Alfred.
"Why don't you let Mom and Dad unpack while you go explore the backyard?"
Outside, Alfred scampers through the grass and around the back of the house, waving his yellow rocket ship high in the air and shouts,
"Take off!"
and hovers the rocket high above the dusty black soil.
"No signs of life yet, Captain,"
says Alfred, racing deeper into the yard. Right at the end of the yard, near a heavy wooden gate, he can see a fish pond whose waters are as blue as the sky.
"There's water on this planet, Captain,"
shouts Alfred, zooming his rocket close to the pond's glassy surface.
"Now landing on Mars."
But before Alfred can land his rocket ship, there is an almighty splash, and something explodes out of the pond.
"Stop!"
shouts a voice.
"What are you doing to our house?"
Alfred staggers backwards, dropping his rocket on the ground. A small person has burst through the surface of the water, and now he's standing right in front of Alfred, not much taller than his knees. The strange figure's skin is a pale green color,
and there's a clump of moss on each of his cheeks. He's wearing a tattered green tunic, and slimy water is dripping from his silvery white hair. Before Alfred has time to reply, he feels a gust of wind tickling the back of his neck. Then a second voice cries out,
"Please, don't touch our precious house."
Alfred spins around in the direction of the other voice. He gasps as he watches a second little person float down to the ground. She looks almost human, with shiny black hair in two long braids. Her long white dress is billowing in the breeze, and the fabric shimmers like sunlight piercing a rain cloud. But she's half the size of Alfred and has a yellow beak where her nose might be. Alfred stares back and forth at this mysterious pair.
What? Where did you come from? Are you fairies?
Something like that,
sniffs the fairy by the pond, as he wrings water from his tunic and picks seaweed out of his dazzling white hair.
Here in Iceland, we're called Huldrefolk. It means hidden people, says the fairy. We've lived in Iceland for thousands of years. We live everywhere. Under rocks, in water, even inside volcanoes. But not all humans can see us.
I had no idea there were fairies in Iceland. I just moved here with my mom and dad. My name is Alfred.
Ulfrid? Olfred?
Says the fairy slowly, furrowing his forehead.
That's a very strange and complicated name.
Well, what's your name?
The fairy replies proudly.
My name is Sigurður Arnason Einarsson Ragnarsson Eyjafjall Alljökullsson.
Alfred's mouth drops open. The second fairy pipes up excitedly, too.
Elin Katrinsdóttir, Margretsdóttir, Hildursdóttir, Jokarsardinsdóttir,
she says.
But you can call us Siggi and Elin. Stones and animals and rivers and seas is like our family and our home.
Until you came and tried to disturb our stones, says Siggi crossly.
I didn't mean to bother you. I'm really sorry.
Don't worry about Siggi. He's upset for a different reason. Have you seen that terrible mess over there?
Elin points across the fence to the construction site on the road. Alfred notices that Elin's arms are soft and downy, like the feathers of a baby bird. Her hands have long fingernails that are as pearly white as clouds. Alfred looks over at the construction site again.
It really is a dreadful mess.
There are flags and warning signs everywhere, and there are huge pipes sticking out of the pit. There's a huge truck next to the construction site with the words Peninga Oil written on the side. Two men in yellow vests are now leaning against the truck.
Look at that big pit they've made,
moans Siggi.
And they want to dig a tunnel right through our home. We've lived here for 500 years in peace and quiet. And these humans think they can come along and ruin it.
The humans want to drain oil from deep in the earth, says Elin sadly.
They'll turn the water filthy and make animals flee from their homes.
Alfred's eyes widen.
But that's terrible. We have to stop them.
Aline's eyes turn serious, glistening as though a tear might well up at any moment.
Some humans don't care what they destroy.
Well, I'm a human, and I don't feel that way, says Alfred. Maybe I can help you.
Siggi and Elin stare at each other.
We need to show them that this whole place belongs to nature, says Siggi with a glint in his big, bulbous eyes.
Elin nods, pressing the edges of her beaky mouth together, as though she is pondering something very deeply. At last, she says,
We just need to give them a surprise.
Elin cups her pearly fingers around Siggy's ear and whispers something.
You're sure you want to help, Olred? Says Siggi.
It's Alfred,
corrects Alfred gently.
And yes, I want to help you. Just tell me what I can do.
After a long pause, Siggi says,
We want you to sneak outside the gate very quietly and creep up to their truck. Open the door of the truck without making a sound, and without those two men seeing you. Is that all? Says Alfred in confusion. The fairies nod.
If you open the truck door, then we can do the rest, says Aline,
her beady eyes twinkling. Alfred looks at the two men on the road. The man with the clipboard has a shiny, bald head, and he's wearing a pale gray suit underneath his yellow vest. His mouth is twisted into a grimace. He's shouting something at the second man, jabbing his finger in the air and gesturing at the yawning trench in the road. Alfred takes a deep breath to steady himself and gently lifts the latch of the gate. Then he starts to creep, slowly and softly, in the direction of the truck. A twig snaps. Alfred's heart is hammering in his chest. He drops down to his hands and knees so the men won't see him through the windows of the truck. He ignores the rough gravel scraping his knees and crawls towards the front passenger door. Holding his breath, he carefully lifts the handle and pulls the door wide. Exhaling with relief, he quietly retraces his steps and slips back through the garden gate. Siggy and Aline are standing by the edge of the pond watching him, their hands clasped together.
Did they see you?
Breathes Siggy.
No,
whispers Alfred.
Brilliant,
says Aline.
Now they will be really surprised.
Siggy sits cross-legged next to the pond and leans forward, plunging both of his scaly green hands into the water. He closes his eyes, as if he's concentrating on something. After a few seconds of silence, Siggy lets out the strangest noise that Alfred has ever heard. A vibrating bellow, so deep and loud that the water in the pond ripples.
Siggy is summoning the water,
explains Aline in a whisper. And then Alfred sees them, bounding down the road and making straight for the truck. There's a group of gray seals, maybe 20 of them, twitching their whiskery noses as they bounce along the tarmac. The two men have stopped bickering. The man with gray hair and glasses glances toward the truck nervously, but it's too late. The seals are already swarming around the truck, letting out throaty cries and slapping their tails with glee. Alfred's eyes bulge in astonishment. He watches as three seals wriggle in through the open door of the truck. Their flippers slap against the dashboard. The biggest seal has her flippers firmly on the steering wheel of the car. She almost looks pleased with herself. Then the car begins to roll slowly down the road.
Nay, nay, nay,
shouts the man with glasses, his arms swinging wildly as he runs after the truck. But it's gathering speed now. The truck rolls quickly down the road towards the beach, bumping over the sand and straight into the sea. Even from a distance, Alfred can see the seals leaping out of the truck. They splash in the water happily, their plump bodies rolling in the surf. The man in glasses has finally scrambled to the shore, only to see his truck slowly bobbing out to sea.
We did it!
Cries Alfred.
The workers can't do any more damage without their truck.
Oh, we're not finished with them just yet, laughs Siggy. The last thing we want to do is call on the Earth to help. But Earth isn't one of our special powers.
But maybe, if all three of us hold hands in a circle, the Earth will hear us. Let's try it,
agrees Alfred. Siggy, Aline, and Alfred stand in a circle and stretch out their arms. Alfred closes his eyes and tries to concentrate. He can't feel anything, not even Aline and Siggy's hands. But then they begin to sing. It sounds like nothing Alfred has ever heard, like crashing waves and violins all at the same time. Alfred feels something like electricity rushing from their hands into his own, and then he hears it. A thunderous sound in the distance.
Alfred opens his eyes and sees dust rising from the road. The dust is gathering in big, whirling clouds, making it impossible to see where the rumbling noise is coming from. But then, a herd of horses bursts out of the gloom. Alfred gulps. There are hundreds of horses galloping down the road. Their hooves pound the tarmac. Their blonde manes float in the air. They're headed directly for them. The bald man staggers backwards at the sight of this fearsome group of horses. Speechless, he turns around and sprints in the direction of the beach. At the front of the herd is a beautiful chestnut horse. When she reaches the edge of the pit, she kicks her muscular legs high in the air. She begins to gallop in circles around the edge, occasionally giving the mound of earth a good kick. The other horses follow her, running round and round the pit. Soon they're galloping so quickly that they look to Alfred like a blur of dust and hooves and glossy hair. After a few seconds, Alfred hears a loud, piercing neigh. The leader of the pack rears up on her hind legs and begins to gallop off down the road, the other horses in hot pursuit. When the dust clears, Alfred can see that the pit has been completely filled. He laughs with delight and turns to Siggy and Ellen, but they've disappeared. He spins around, straining to see where his new friends have gone, but there's no one in sight. Alfred's stomach sinks, just like it did on the airplane. The next morning at breakfast, Alfred is starting to wonder if he dreamed the whole thing. Through the window, the garden looks empty and quiet. Mom and Dad are sipping coffee just like it's a normal day. Alfred spoons cereal into his mouth, chewing slowly. Then Alfred's mom interrupts the silence. "Well, it's good news about the road at the end of our garden," she says. "On the news, they said they're going to stop digging." Alfred glances up from his cornflakes. "They aren't coming back to dig the road?" Alfred's dad looks up from his phone with a smile. "That's right," he says, pushing his glasses up the bridge of his nose. "They were starting to lay a huge oil pipeline. But then they discovered all kinds of amazing animals living here. So they're going to leave them in peace." Alfred flushes pink. It hadn't been a dream at all. Through the window, a flash of movement catches Alfred's eye. It's so fast that the grown-ups don't even notice. And then Alfred sees them. Siggy and Ellen are perched on top of the gate. They're waving to their new friend, waiting patiently for Alfred to come play. "We'll be left in peace too," says Alfred's mom, "and Alfred will be much happier playing in the garden. Right, Alfred?"
"Yes, Mom. I think I'll be spending a lot of time in our new garden."
From Wondery, this is Little Stories Everywhere. Alfred and the Iceland Fairies was written by Anita Izalska. I'm your host, Robbie Damond. This episode is produced by Janine Cornelow and sound designed by Marcelino Villalpando. Executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.